And you're tuned in to the Jewish Activist Network. We broadcast from 12:30 a.m. to 1 o'clock. We'll be on for the next half hour. Welcome once again to the Jewish Activist Network. I'm Joe Orlow, your host.
And thank you once again. Our call numbers are 718-569-0921, 718-569-0921. And we welcome your calls. We have a special guest today. We have Rhonda Spivak, who is the editor of the Winnipeg Jewish
report.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to be talking about the recent get-together of heads of federations, which was just this November 8th to 10th, and Rhonda was there. And we'd like to bring it to the public so that you can get involved and help out. And the first step of helping out and getting involved is being informed.
Rhonda,
take it away.
We welcome Rhonda Spivak to the Jewish Activist Network. Welcome, Rhonda. Tell us a little bit about where you're calling from and your background, and what happened at the and what the assembly, what is it called, the Assembly of the Federations, what it's all about, and why you were there.
Well, my background to start with, I'm born in Winnipeg and I've lived here. But I also have a second home in Israel and Netanya. And my training professionally is that I'm a lawyer, licensed in Manitoba, and I also received my call to the Israeli bar in 1996. I have been a freelance writer for a number of years, have published in the Jerusalem Post, Haaretz, and the Canadian Jewish News, and a number of other publications. And I have recently started up a new online newspaper called the Winnipeg Jewish Report. And because I spend about 2 to 3 months a year in Israel, I often do a number of pieces about the Israeli-Palestinian issue, which is of particular interest to me. I decided, along with my photographer and partner Arya Levy, to attend the Washington Conference of the General Assembly.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what the General Assembly is, and what, you know, what federations are, and why they come together once a year?
Well, I guess this is the Jewish Federations of North America, so most federations will send representatives, either lay leadership or staff people, to get together. And I guess at the one level, many decide policy issues through meetings, and they elect chairs to boards. And generally speaking, it's several days where there are some all sorts of issues discussed, ranging from health care to student activism on campus. This General Assembly was scheduled to have both Prime Minister Netanyahu from Israel, and he did address the Assembly, and it was also scheduled to have President Obama speak. And certainly that was the fact that President Obama was scheduled to speak was one of the reasons that my partner and I did decide to try to attend the assembly. We figured that it could provide a window of understanding into what American policy was going to be in the next foreseeable future vis-a-vis the peace process.
So the federations collectively probably raise hundreds of millions of dollars, if not more, and they get together once a year to kind of meet with each other and to coordinate, and probably the political policy, they try to all be on the same page. And that was why I assume that they were having the Prime Minister of the government in Israel and the President of the United States speaking there. Now, in relationship to the whole concept of a two-state solution, can you touch on a little bit about what Netanyahu said, Prime Minister of the government of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and what Emmanuel Rahm, who is the President Obama's chief of staff, he spoke there. Can you give us an idea of what was going on, and also the reaction of the leaders?
Yeah, well, I don't think Prime Minister Netanyahu really said anything new that he hasn't said before. He was very consistent on the whole with his Bar-Ilan speech. You know, he referred to the West Bank. He didn't use the words Judea and Samaria. You know, he did talk about a two-state solution. At the same time, you know, it's clear that he's got certain conditions which are not only a demilitarized Palestinian entity or state, as he referred to it, but also that it would involve giving up on all further irredentist claims, and that it wouldn't mean having Palestinian refugees be allowed into the state of Israel to flood that. So, you know, on the whole, it's consistent. He did certainly try to paint himself as not being an obstacle, in the sense that he indicated that his government had done more than any other Israeli government to curb settlements, he emphasized that the talks should go on without preconditions, and he, you know, he held out to Mahmoud Abbas that he should come and start talking now. Of course, one of the things that was missing from Netanyahu's speech, which I thought about afterward, was there was really no, he didn't advert it in any way to the fact that, I guess a number of days ago, or must be about a week ago now, Abbas seems to have indicated that he's resigning.
Okay.
So, on one hand, you have a call for him to join negotiations when it's not even clear that he's intending on staying in power.
Now, what did the chief of staff of President Obama, Manuel Ram, what was his message in regard to this?
Well, I think the one thing that I actually want to start with the very end. One of the most interesting things to me was at the very end, Michael Gilman, I believe his name is, who thanked Rahm Emanuel, said thank you for these for your reassuring words. And I sort of caught on the word on the word reassuring, and I went up to him and asked afterward, and I said, well, when you say that, it sounds to me that you need some reassurance. The word itself sort of suggests the fact that maybe there's a problem. And he said, well, he did think that American Jews needed reassurance that a complete settlement freeze wasn't going to be a precondition for opening negotiations, and that Rahm Emanuel had answered that issue by saying clearly that there are no preconditions to these talks. And I think I think Rahm Emanuel did say that. And maybe I think there were other members in the crowd that saw that as a positive thing, because it's certainly been off. You know, I think that most people have thought one way or another that the Obama administration was suggesting that there would be, and in fact, it probably, if anything, raised the bar such that Mahmoud Abbas sees it as a defeat on his part if he enters negotiations without a complete halt, a complete freeze, including natural growth. So I think there were people in the crowd that were pleased with that statement.
Let me ask you.
On the other hand, he did say unilateral, but there ought to be no unilateral steps taken, and if they were taken, they wouldn't predetermine the outcome. I think a lot of people interpreted that as being an indication to the Israeli government that if they were going to expand settlements, it was not going to be looked on favorably, and it wasn't going to mean that they were going to be able to stay. I actually looked at it from a different angle, which is that Salam Fayyad has indicated that if negotiations don't produce an agreement within the next 2 years, then he is going to unilaterally declare a Palestinian state and ask that it be approved at the UN. So I think that Emmanuel's statements also could be taken to mean that the United States is not going to allow that to happen either.
So the word...
Although...
go ahead.
You know, I mean, there are reports suggesting that Netanyahu was asked to have Obama indicate clearly to him that he will not support that scenario.
So let me see if I can, Rhonda, if I can understand. So the word on the street is, or what's the indication from reports in the media...
I'm sorry, I can't hear you very well.
Yeah, the report. So from the reports that you're getting in the media from the PA, and the word on the street seems to be that there might be a so-called unilateral declaration of a Palestinian state, and that... And as I think it wouldn't be a far-fetched statement to say that the UN would probably go along with that, and many countries around the world, if not all of them, would go along. And the United States has not made a clear statement saying that they will not go along with that.
That's right. Okay, so,
can you tie that in also?
The truth is, if you look at it, clearly, you know, the United States, if it ever got past the Security Council, it would pass at the UN General Assembly. So the United States would have to use its veto power, and I think that's something that, you know, Israel is going to want to get an assurance about. Now, whether Emmanuel's statement was directed towards that or was really directed towards the idea of settlement expansion, it's hard to know what he was contemplating there. Most commentators I've read, or reports I've read, you know, refer to that, the settlement issue, but I think it also could apply to, or I certainly hope it's going to apply, because nobody, one would assume that that the United States wouldn't be part of any imposition of a unilateral state on Palestine, with presumably some sort of provisional borders.
Now there were 20 leaders you heard that met 20 leaders from this assembly who met with President Obama. Can you tell us a little bit about how you learned about that meeting and what that meeting was about?
Well, I think in my own mind, I should state at the beginning that there's certainly questions in my mind about that. The Jewish Federation indicated that they would be having a meeting with Obama at the White House or some sort of reception. And I think what I actually found interesting was a lot of the delegates were kind of hesitant to talk about this whole issue of could President Obama have somehow managed to get to the G8 at a different time, or could he have sent Joe Biden in his place, or, you know, I guess in the days of Skype and being videoed in, could he have done that and still given the policy address that the community was expecting he would. What I found actually was, out of the delegates who were willing to speak, a lot of them were students, which was refreshing, and they were, you know, far more candid. And there certainly are questions being raised about what happened, in the sense that it's not really clear what, if anything, was discussed at this reception. The Federation issued a press release in which they said, you know, there were several other staff, senior staff members from the Obama administration that were present, and they said he appeared for about a half hour. It sounded like He had some brief remarks, and they, you know, made a statement that they had raised their concerns, you know, with him.
So,
and the voice of the Jewish Federation of North America had been heard loud and far.
Well, Rhonda, we just have about 3 or 4 minutes left. I guess I want to put it together from my perspective, based on what you're
just
saying.
The one point I want to make is that when I did get to speak to this Michael Gelman, who was there, what he told me was that there really hadn't been anything discussed. I specifically asked about Israel, and he said it didn't come up at all, and it was kind of a meet and greet where you... I guess shook Mr. Obama's hand.
What was the message of the Federation?
You know, met
their message.
In other words, to me, bottom line after I spoke to him
without the specification.
Was.
Yeah. Go ahead. Hello. Okay, I think we lost the signal there. I'm sorry. So we're just about out of time with that interview. So we'll. I just want to remind our listeners that we were speaking with Rhonda Spivak of the Jewish Report. That's www.winnipegjewishreport.com. Winnipeg is W-I-N-N-I-P-E-G, jewishreport.com. And she was at the General Assembly of the Federations. And what I took away from what she was saying, basically, is that there are reports coming from the media, and from what I'm hearing on the street, that there may be a so-called unilateral declaration. That means that the Palestinian Authority would simply, someone in who claims to represent the Arab people who identify themselves as Palestinians, would say that we have a state. Instead of there being negotiations, they would simply say we have a state. And they would present it to the United Nations. It's not a far-fetched statement to say that the United Nations would then say, yes, we see a state there. The United States has not made a solid statement negating that idea of a unilateral declaration. There was nothing that was heard, apparently, based on what Rhonda was telling us, of that the Federation was coming out against it. And there was this kind of a private meeting, and from her talking to people, someone who was at the meeting, it didn't even really come up. So it looks like, you know, it's hard to generalize sometimes from the negative, from what wasn't there, but it seems to me that the Federation is pretty much on the same page as the administration. There may be some discussion back and forth, but they're pretty much on the same page. And if the administration is not saying they're against a unilateral declaration, and the administration is pushing a Palestinian state, and the Federation has not come out against, in any way, shape, or form, the concept in a general way of a two-state solution, so it seems to me that what we may be facing down the line is just this kind of a unilateral declaration, and the passivity of the Federation would basically be contributing to what the perception would be among a number of Jews in the United States who would take the lead from the Federation. Again, this is an organization that raises hundreds of millions of dollars. A lot of people give money to it. It's important, has a lot of impact in the community here in the United States and also in Eretz Yisrael, in the land of Israel. And with that real leadership coming out against this idea of a Palestinian state, which would present a danger to the Jewish community in Israel, and of course worldwide would present a danger. I think we're in danger, and that's why we're on the air and promoting this idea of communicating to the world what's going on, and we hope people will join in and be concerned about it. Join in with us also. Our number here on and off the air, 718-569-0921. Join in with us about educating people about a very real and possible danger, a very real possibility of danger in the very near future, within a year or two, if such a Palestinian state were to be declared and recognized by the world. Because it would mean, at the very least, the uprooting of hundreds of thousands of Jews from their home. That's what it seems to me, based on what we're hearing. We have a commercial we're going to go to, and then an interview with Rabbi David Eidenson. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Jewish Activist Network. We'll be on till 1 a.m.
The 19th Yortzeit for Rabbi Meir Kahana, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Come, join us to commemorate the memory of one of the greatest Jewish leaders of our time. On November 15, Sunday, the event starts at 2 o'clock sharp. The doors open at 1 o'clock. The event is going to take place at Ocean Avenue Jewish Center, 2600 Ocean Avenue between U and V, Brooklyn, New York, 11230. The event is free. We welcome everyone. Hope to see you there. Shalom.
We have with us Rabbi David Idenson, who was with us last week on the Jewish Activist Network, speaking to us a little bit about events in Lakewood. Rabbi Idenson, welcome back to the Jewish Activist Network, and please update us a little bit from what's happened in the past week since you were with us.
Well, Joe, we had a tremendous success and a wonderful response to our letter that told people to vote for Christie and not for Corzine. And the VOD had backed Corzine, and this we opposed, and there were others that opposed it in the community. The results, as I understand, were that about 65% voted for Christie, and about maybe 20-25% voted for Corzine. Some did not vote for either candidate, but the majority of the people in the community voted for Christie, which is a great success. And to my knowledge, it's the first time that the VOD had ever been challenged on a community level this way. And the fact is that your radio show had a lot to do with it. It I heard Hoshev Arov heard our program, was very impressed. And this is a way to get the truth out there. Unfortunately, the getting out the truth is not the easiest thing, but this is being done now by individuals who took my letter and printed it and published it and distributed it. Took a lot of work. A few yechidim were involved in this, and people responded, and your radio show got the message out. So there is some hope. We have a great battle now with the Lakewood Yeshiva, and we have great battles with the Aguda Rosh Yeshivas. And the idea that the Rosh Yeshivas can do whatever is good for their yeshivas, whatever is good to raise money from government programs, or the back gays or the back hate crimes bill, which is completely osur, completely treif, complete chilul Hashem, that at last it's gone beyond just talking about it on the radio. It's now gone out to a community which has responded positively, and this is just the beginning.
Our collective radio shows that we've had, you and I.
Collective, and the reaction in the community towards the whole situation, and the idea that people here in New York also have the same problem. They're also, it's all one community, New York, New Jersey. And the word is getting out that what is going on in the Aguda and Lakewood, that this is from yeshivas and Rosh Yeshivas. It is treif. It has come to disgrace, not just treif, but disgrace, that the VOD of Lakewood is a vote for a pro-Toeva, pro-gay marriage candidate. And when the other candidate is opposed to it, this is the ultimate disgrace that a yeshiva, especially a choshev yeshiva, could have. And we see from this that the yeshivas are for sale. I just finished another letter, and hopefully it will be going out soon. This letter educates people about what the issues are. For instance, right now in England, there is a court that ruled that the government, not the yeshivas, will determine who is Jewish in terms of being admitted to parochial schools and yeshivas. And this is a disaster that the government has decided to take away from the yeshivas the right to determine who may come to a yeshiva who is considered Jewish. And this attitude must be fought tooth and nail. And and when our representatives, the Agudas Yisrael, that are supposed to fight for yeshivas and fight for the Torah community, and they're fighting for the gays and hurting the yeshivas, this is a complete scandal, and we've got to speak out against it, and we've got to fight it, and we've got to destroy this army inside of our community that's selling our rights and selling our yeshivas so they can make money.
What is the connection between the case in England and here? In other words, we're speaking here about against supporting candidates, for example, who are promoting gay marriage. And the issue in England was regarding deciding who is a Jew.
Well, there's a rule in the Supreme Court that they read the newspapers. Now, for instance, in 1986, the Berger Court ruled that you could put a homosexual in jail for consensual sex. It just could be an evil thing. There's no constitutional right to do that. And if if a person has consensual sex and the police find out about it, they can be put in jail. That was the Berger court in the Bowers case in 1986. That 17 years later, 2003, basically the same Supreme Court ruled just the opposite, that the gays have a constitutional right to be protected, and they have a right to have consensual sex. And then they went from one extreme to the other. Now, this is an example of how fast things go when there's a lot of noise made by the gays out there. Then the Supreme Court picks it up. They read the newspapers. They hear all the noise. And they say, look, if that's what everybody's doing, let's do it too. Now, in England and Europe, they're extremely pro-gay. And they're much more radical than we are in America. We are a religious country. Europe is perhaps an anti-religious country. So therefore, it is very frightening when we know now that the Supreme Court is influenced by what goes on in Europe. So we have to be very much afraid of that, that we have to fight tooth and nail to maintain our independence in the United States when we are being buffeted by these civil rights and idealistic ideas that say that the government should make a more fair religion than what we have from Hashem.
Rabbi Einstein, thank you again for being with us on the Jewish Activist Network, and we look forward to future updates. Can you give out your phone number in case anyone would like to contact you?
845-578-1860.
We've been speaking with Rabbi David Einstein here on the Jewish Activist Network. His phone number, for those who would like to contact him directly, 845-578-1860. Thank you again for being with us.
Thank you.
Shalom. Bnei Elim is inviting you for the 19th Yortzeit for Rabbi Meir Kahana, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Come, join us to commemorate the memory of one of the greatest Jewish leaders of our time. On November 15, Sunday, the event starts at 2 o'clock sharp. The doors open at 1 o'clock. The event is going to take place at Ocean Avenue Jewish Center, 2600 Ocean Avenue between U and V, Brooklyn, New York, 11230. The event is free. We welcome everyone. Hope to see you there. Shalom.
You're tuned in to the Jewish Activist Network. I'm Joe Orla, your host. We have about 2 minutes left if anyone wants to call in. The number here is 718-569-0921. Again, the number is 718-569-0921. That's our on-the-air and off-the-air numbers. I just wanted to clarify again that we had Rhonda Spivak, and we were talking about the Federation. And again, although it's difficult to reason from the negative, it was the very lack of discussion of the issues which are so important to us about the two-state solution that we basically were concerned about, that the Federation did not put it front and center, that something like a unilateral declaration would not be acceptable. We, of course, here at the Jewish Activist Network, work totally against this idea of a two-state solution. But if it's on the table, if people are concerned that there might be a unilateral declaration, and if people are concerned that the United States might go along with it, so we would hope that the Federation would say front and center that it's unacceptable because of the danger it would place on the Jewish people. No one can question how dangerous that would be. The government in Israel is saying it. Every Jewish organization, I think, is holding that just to go ahead and have an Arab state without any kind of negotiations at all. I don't think there's any disagreement that that would pose a danger. And yet the Federation did not come out and say it. It apparently did not even come up at the meeting of the Federation leaders with the president to say, can you make that kind of a statement? That's what's concerning us. And if it's not coming up, basically there's passive agreement. That's the way I would read it. There's a kind of passive understanding that maybe it can be, maybe there will be, the administration might come out and support such a unilateral declaration, and perhaps the Federation might not oppose it. You're listening to the Jewish Activist Network. Tune in again next week at 12 midnight for the Jewish Datelines, followed at 12:30 by the Jewish Activist Network.